Hi, Family Church. Hope you're doing well. Here we are in September, the start of a new month. Wow, hasn't the year gone fast? It only seems just weeks ago that we were starting this theme on magnify and multiply back in January. And here we are in September. Well, it's been a really good journey, hasn't it, across Family Church congregations, considering this thought that as we magnify the Lord, magnify him in our worship, magnify him in our lives, lift up the word. Remember, he is the word made flesh. But we can expect multiplication in our lives and things that we're involved with because we're lifting him up. And that's been the overall theme throughout this year. How do we magnify the Lord? How do we magnify him better in our church, in our worship, in our lives, in our daily devotions? And I've been believing for you and praying for you as I'm believing for my own household, that as we've been doing that, God is causing that drawing. Remember the verse we've been using, if I be lifted up from the world, I will draw all men unto me. That's a principle. God is drawing things to our life. He's causing multiplication. Remember, we started the year by just going over the thoughts that God is a God of multiplication. He reveals his heart for multiplication in Genesis and in so many stories in the Bible. So we've been following this common theme, how God wants to multiply us. Things that we need to do according to biblical pattern to experience this multiplication. We just finished a series before summer, didn't we, on multiplication by miracles. And we looked at how sometimes God causes us to multiply by the work of our own hands, our diligence, the things that he gives us to do. But other times he causes multiplication through miracles. Those moments when you turn around and you see God adding to your life. And you look in the mirror and you say, that wasn't me. That wasn't my hard work. Surely that's the blessing of God. That's multiplication through miracles. So we had so much good feedback from all the congregations that people felt inspired again to be believing God for miracles. Remember the pattern that we followed. When you read the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, before there was a mighty miracle or a miraculous experience, there was normally always an unusual request or statement. God would, through his prophets or through the mouth of Jesus himself, say to somebody, do this, do that. Often the things that he asked would violate their reason or their understanding of how things worked. But when they chose to take a step by faith into what he'd asked them to do, suddenly there was a miraculous catch. The oil didn't stop pouring. There was enough grain for not just the moment, but far beyond. I want us to keep that challenge in our hearts. What is God saying to us individually and as a church? Do we want to see the miracles that he has for us? Are we willing to walk by faith and not just reason? So now we start another series within the theme of magnify and multiply, and it's simply called a growing church. Now, think about it. The church is not a building. We meet in buildings. It's not a service. We have services. The church is a community of people who have been called out of darkness into light. We are the family of God on the earth. Now, I really believe that the church is the kingdom of God expanding, but also the family of God being revealed. When you look around at society in the world today, even our own local communities, you see so much need. But the greatest need that a person has is that they would discover the Creator God who made them in his image and the salvation that comes through his son Jesus. I believe that church being an organism, not an organization, is destined to experience multiplication, or we could call that growth. I believe that the church should be growing, not just numerically, but in our understanding, in our community, in the effect that we're having in the places that God has planted us and caused us to be a lighthouse for him. Sometimes you can hear people say, well, it's not about numbers. Well, God wrote a book called Numbers. I agree that we shouldn't be fascinated by how many bums are filling chairs. But in the same line of thinking, we should be saying, come on, how do we grow? Because every time we grow numerically, it's another person, another family that's come from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. But I do agree also that our growth isn't just numerical, but it shouldn't exclude the numbers and the growth that we see of people coming. So we're starting this new series today, simply called A Growing Church. And we're looking at the thought of how can we be a growing church, a multiplying church, not just in the numbers that fill the chairs, the people that visit, but in every single way. So who do we look to for a pattern or a model of this? Well, I don't believe there's anywhere better to look than the first church, the early church, the primitive church that we read about in the book of Acts. Remember, on the day of Pentecost, the fire of God, the Spirit of God, fell. People were filled with the Spirit. But it was the same moment when the church was born. So think about that for a moment. Family Church, in October, we'll be 28 years old. Well, actually, we're over 2,000 years old because we see ourselves as a part of the church that Jesus opened 2,000 years ago. We see ourselves as a part of the church that Jesus spoke about when he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we may be 28 years old in October, but actually we're well over 2,000 years old. When we look to the origin of the church, the book of Acts, that moment when the church was born out of a prayer meeting, experiencing the fire of God, we've got to say, what was their recipe? Because they were a growing church. You see, they were in the upper room and they were people that weren't scared to leave the upper room and come down to ground level. On ground level, suddenly they have a meeting and the Bible records that they grew by 3,000, 4,000, they just began to not experience addition, but also multiplication. That would be some great problems, wouldn't it, for our hosting teams, our car park teams. Suddenly, not just one or two, 10 or 20 visitors, but hundreds, thousands. That excites my heart. And I hope it excites yours too, because we want to always be in Family Church. A church that's saying, God, we want to be a growing church. Now, you read in Acts 2, verse 47, something very profound. It says this, and God added to their number daily those who were being saved. Wow, imagine when God is the cause for people coming. We use social media, invitation. We encourage everyone in the church to be inviters and bringers. Please don't stop doing that. But stop and think for a moment. What if we saw God doing for us in the 21st century what he did for the first century church? Where we could say, we are growing and there's some things we're doing that causes that. But there's a big chunk that's all about God adding people to us and causing us to grow in a supernatural way. So if we want to experience that, we've got to make sure we're staying true to the recipe of the church. And that's what we're going to be looking through the month of September, some key elements that was the recipe for the early church. I don't believe it was a recipe they knew they were using. It was just things that they naturally did, living kingdom lives, that caused God to look down from heaven and say, I like what I see. That's a place that I'm going to send people. Oh, that Family Church would have that testimony too. So when we read in Acts 2:47, it speaks of God adding to the church because he liked what he saw. But if we rewind a little bit to Acts chapter 2, verses 42, it gives us this simple recipe that the early church used that caused them to experience supernatural, miraculous, beyond normal growth. Now, when we read it, it just simply says, and they devoted themselves. I believe in that statement, there's an ingredient itself. We need to be a people that are devoted to God, devoted to the Great Commission, devoted to each other. And it says of the early church, and they, that's everyone, not the church leaders, everyone that called church home, devoted themselves to a number of things. What were those things? To highlight them, number one, it says they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles, apostolic teaching. Now, we're a place that believes in apostolic teaching. We're not trying to bring in new truth. We're trying to live in the revelations of the truth that God revealed through the first apostles of the New Testament church. So we're going to be looking at apostolic teaching. The second thing it says is they devoted themselves to fellowship, community, not just coming to a building on Sunday and doing church, but rather being involved in each other's lives. And I know that that can scare you, especially if you're from England, if you're from another nation like or continent like Africa or Asia. Doing life with each other is a very normal, everyday thing. But sometimes in the Western world, especially England, we can begin to sectionalize. I do church on Sunday and then I get on with my life. I want to believe that the Holy Spirit will ruin that. And we will begin to see and value our fellowship. You see, the word fellowship, sometimes when we look at it again through an English way of thinking, it's staying for a biscuit and a cup of tea after church. Are you staying for fellowship? When actually the word fellowship means the sharing of life, sharing life together. That's why sometimes people don't experience everything they can in their relationship with God, because it says that we're to know the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Now, if we're letting the Holy Spirit be a part of our Sunday, we miss out on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's the same with church. We want church to be a community where we enjoy doing life with each other, achieving things for God together. And they devoted themselves to fellowship and the sharing of life. So we're going to look at that over the course of September. And it also says they devoted themselves to prayer, breaking of bread. What place should prayer play in our devotion? What part or what emphasis or celebration should we put on this thing that's called prayer? Do we understand the power of prayer? Do we fully understand the power of what happens when a church commits to being a praying church? So over the next few weeks, this is what we're going to be looking at. This is where we're going to be living together across the congregations. We want to be a growing church, and we're brave enough to look at the ingredients of the early church and say, how do we make them the ingredients of who we are today? Why? Because we want to grow. We want to multiply. Not just for us, but because that's the heart of the Father. The Bible says it's not his will that any perish. You see, before a person believes in Jesus, hears about salvation, hears about Jesus, believes in Jesus, they're not a part of God's family. They were made by God, but they were separated through the sin of Adam to be a part of a family where the Father is not God. It's the devil. The moment a person hears and believes, God takes them from being in the family of an abusive, evil father, and he brings them in to his household, his family. That household, that family, is called the church. The church is local. The church is national. The church is worldwide. It's one family that belongs to God. The Great Commission is really simple. God says to us, would you go and grow my family for me? When we say let's be a growing church, we're committing to be the family of God that he's placed us on the earth to be. Hope that encourages your heart. It's going to be an exciting September. So come on, let's gear up, let's lean in, let's posture ourselves to learn and apply. And it's going to be good. The Lord bless you. Have an amazing rest of your service. God bless.